My text is Psalm 48. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. In the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great King. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there. Pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like the ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God. God makes her secure forever. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God, for ever and ever. He will be our guide, even to the end. Psalm 48. The psalmist penned this psalm so that the Hebrews could sing it. And he wanted them to sing of two matters, did he not? One, he wanted them to think about Jerusalem, Mount Zion, the city of God, the mountain of God, and see the glories of Zion, and sing of the glories of Zion. But of course, in that, he wanted them to lift their hearts and their minds and their eyes beyond the walls of Jerusalem and see the Lord himself. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. The city of our God, his holy mountain. He speaks of the beauty of Zion. The holiness, first of all, in verse 1. Then the beauty and the loftiness, the joy of the whole earth, he says in verse 2. It is the city of the great King. God is with her. God is in her. Verse 3. And God is her defense. He has shown himself to be her fortress. Verse 3. The pagans, they advance against Jerusalem. And what do they see? And what is their reaction? They are confronted by immensity, by glory, by wealth, by power, by excellence, beyond description. They were astounded, verse 5. They flee in terror. They just cannot cope with the majesty, the power, the defensive ramparts, the glories of Zion. Verse 6, trembling seized them there like pain for a woman in her labors. And they're destroyed, shattered by an east wind like the ships of Tarshish. Verse 7. This is God in his people, Mount Zion. This is the city of the Lord Almighty. Verse 8. God makes her secure forever. And he wants the people, this psalmist, to sing of the unfailing love of God within the temple. Verse 9. And to think of the praise of God, the name of God, going out from the temple, going out from Jerusalem, and right out to the ends of the earth, verse 10. He wants them to think and sing of the right hand, the hand of power of God, filled with righteousness. And all Mount Zion and all her villages, verse 11, rejoicing and are glad because of the judgments, the law of God, and his power revealed in the temple. and in the prophets, and in the law. He wants the Hebrews, verse 12, to walk about Zion like tourists, counting her towers, marking her palaces, entering her rooms, and thinking of all the glories and all the wonders, mouth opened, as it were, gaping, speechless, and the wonders, and the wealth, and the glory, and the power of Zion. Consider well her ramparts. View her citadels. Why? So that you can tell to the next generation, your children first and foremost. Tell them of the glories of Zion, and of the God in Zion, the wonders of it. For our God, this God is our God, verse 14, forever and ever, he will be our guide, even unto death, even unto the end, and forever. What a wonderful experience it must have been for the Jews to be singing this when they're at their work, perhaps, when they're toiling in the fields, when they're far off from Zion, but thinking of the glories and the wonders of Mount Zion, the temple. Remember, Daniel opened his window to pray towards the temple, and so on. You can see. How should we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land, they said. How they wanted to rejoice in Zion, the glories of Zion, and how they would talk to their children. Why do you do this, Father? What mean you by this service? What mean you by these stones? What is it all about? It is the glories of Zion, my son, because God is amongst his people here. It's wonderful, isn't it? Tremendous. Now, shall I close this address now? Is that good enough? In other words, I've given you some sort of history lecture, some talk, reminding you of how the Jews rejoiced in Mount Zion and delighted in it. Is that the sum total of the meaning and the fullness for us? We can stand back and like look through a goldfish bowl. We can look into an aquarium, and we can see these Jews in there rejoicing in Mount Zion. And we say, how wonderful it must have been for them. Is that what it's all about? Well, it's very wonderful what I've said to you, but is that the sum total of it? Not from me, by a long chalk. This is part of Scripture. And the New Testament shows me how to use these Scriptures. I don't look back and say, what a wonderful thing for these Jews, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, whatever it might be. How wonderful, rejoicing in the temple or the tabernacle or God's deliverance in Exodus and so on, the Passover. Isn't it wonderful how these Jews managed to have such joyous times and it's lovely to see, and then go on my way. This is for me, my friend. When I say me, I'm speaking as a believer. If you are a believer, this is for you. You're here. You should be doing this. You should be enjoying this. This is your possession. Let me explain. If you limit this to the psalmist and his time, and the Jews, the Hebrews, in those days, those far off days, 3,000 years ago, whatever it might be, then you're in terrible trouble. I'm fully prepared. Don't switch off, please, what I'm going to say now. Hear me to the end, please. Don't misjudge what I'm going to say. But if you just take these words as they stand, they're exaggerated, aren't they? They're overplayed, aren't they? What do you mean? Well, here are these Jews, looking at Mount Zion, looking at the walls, the palaces, the ramparts. And this is what they say in verse 8. The city of our God, God makes her secure forever. God makes her secure forever. The pagan kings, verse 4 to 7, they come, but they can't take her. They can't cope with Jerusalem. Jerusalem is too big, too massive, too great, too glorious. God is there. He is a wall around Jerusalem. A fire around Jerusalem, some scriptures say. They'll never get in here. Well, what about the exile then? What about the hordes, the Babylonian hordes, pouring over the walls of Jerusalem and destroying the temple tearing down the walls, smashing her palaces. What now? A Psalm 48. And then, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, they come back and they rebuild the temple. What thou of the weeping? When they lay the foundation of the new temple, why do they weep? Well, they weep for joy, some, but some weep for sorrow. Why? Because they remember the former temple, Solomon's temple. And what do they say? The glory of this latter house. Yes, it's good, but it doesn't match the glory of Solomon's temple. God makes us secure forever. And what about AD 70? The ravages, the destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman hordes. And what about AD 135? The final abolition and obliteration, destruction of Jerusalem. So what do we say? Well, of course, the psalmist is speaking in his own language, in his own time, to his own people, and he is giving them exalted language of the present Mount Zion as he sees it. But he is a prophet. And he is speaking of another Mount Zion. Not a literal palace. Not a literal fortress. But he is speaking of something of which he does not know fully. 1 Peter 1, he's interested in it, but he knows there's something. But what is it? He must wonder at his own words. Well, we can tell him the answer, can't we? You've heard me just rustling the Bible. Where have I gone? Hebrews chapter 12. And here is the writer to the Hebrews, writing to believers. And what does he say to us? But you have come to Mount Zion. Now, I have never actually been to Jerusalem. I have no intention of going. I have no need to go. But I have never actually been there. The vast majority of Christians will never go there. But every true believer has come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn. That doesn't mean the local meeting house. It doesn't mean the local denomination, whatever that may be. That's something to do with Christendom. He's talking about the elect, the whole body, bride of Christ. You come to the church of the firstborn, all the saved, all the elect, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, to judge of all men, to the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, even the saints that have gone on before us. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. What am I saying? Believer, Psalm 48 is yours. In the spiritual sense, we are the children of Zion. We are the inhabitants of Zion. We belong to Mount Zion. God is our God. And this awesome God, this great and glorious God, is the God of a great and glorious city, a great and triumphant and magnificent place called Zion. And we are members, citizens of Zion. Saviour, if of Zion city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show. Solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. Believer, you may be in very low circumstances. You may be cut off, it may be seemed to be, from the people of God. I know something of it myself. You may be ostracized, rejected, by those Jews in the field far off from Zion. But they could sing this psalm in their hearts and in their minds, even with their voices aloud, speaking of the greatness and the glory of Zion and the pleasure of being there. You are in Mount Zion now. Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. They don't want you. They're not listening to you. Forget him. Put him in the long grass. Put him away. We don't want him. But my friend, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God is holy mountain. You belong to this holy people. It's a lofty city. Let's go through it again, verse 2. It is the joy of the whole earth. Unbeliever, there is no joy outside of Mount Zion, outside of Jesus, outside of the gospel. There is no joy outside. Oh, you may say you have joys, solid joys and lasting treasure. Lasting, solid, yeah, those are the words. None but Zion's children know. The pleasures of this world are vanishing. And they will end. The glories of Zion will never cease. The inheritance of the saints is eternal inheritance. God has shown himself, verse 3, among us, mighty in power. Verses 4 to 7, the pagans. All outside of Zion are pagans. You say, well, I'm religious, I'm a Muslim. In God's terms, you are pagan. Well, I'm a Hindu, I follow Confucius, I follow this guru, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God at all. You're a pagan, my friend. And I tell you, you'll be astounded. And when God shows his power, as he will do in the final day, when Christ comes again, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you will be flee in terror. Pain and trembling will take hold of you. He will destroy you, Psalm 2, like a potter's vessel. The gates of Zion stand open. Come. Come to Jesus now. And you too then can, by faith in Christ, become a citizen of Zion. You see, verse 8, God makes us secure forever. There's going to be no Babylonian horde taking away this Zion. No Roman Empire is going to crush this Zion. The pagans won't come here. Underneath are the everlasting arms. You are in my Father's hand, says Christ, and no man can pluck you out of my hand. He who has begun a good work in you will continue it and perfect it to the day of Christ Jesus. You are secure forever and ever. Believer, let us meditate within the temple of God. That's not a building. That's not a meeting house. Forget that. That's Christendom. Think of Christ. Think of the Spirit of God indwelling you. Meditate on God's unfailing love. Think of the praise of God going out into all the world. What a joy it is for me now. I'm speaking in my room here. Speaking to myself, it seems. But you might be listening. Well, I hope you are listening. Where will this go? Will it go to China? Will it go to Africa? Canada? America? Where will it go? The praise of God reaches the end of the earth. His right hand is filled with righteousness. And we are glad, are we not, believers? Verse 11, because of God's judgments. He is sovereign. He is in control. Let us do, as we are bidden in verse 12, to walk about Zion and go round her counting her towers. I expect, like me, you've gone to some stately home or noble palace or castle. I have. And the guide takes you into this room. Now here is this room. Look at these hangings on the wall. Look at the furniture here. This and that and the other. They give you all the details of it. And you stand open mouthed at the splendor of it. The wealth of it. The collection there. Well, let us go round Zion. And let us count her towers. Let us enter into her palaces. Let me indicate what I'm talking about. Here's a palace. What's this one? This is called justification by faith. Let's go into that room and see what we see there. What do we see in this room? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He has accounted us righteous. Why? Because he has laid to our account the righteousness of Christ, the perfection of Christ. We see Jesus here, and we see ourselves here, without spot or wrinkle or stain or marring of any kind. We are perfect in Christ, sinless in Christ. There is no condemnation to us now in Christ. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? These are the hangings on the wall. Let us speak of them. Let us remind ourselves of them. Let us meditate upon them. God in his love has justified us by faith. Isn't that a wonderful room? Well, we can't spend long here now because we've got another room to visit. But eternity, we can spend all eternity looking at these rooms. What's the next room we should go into? What's this one called? Assurance. Now, what do we see in this room? What do we see in this room? God bears witness with our spirit. God the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He's taken away the spirit of fear. And what has he given us? The spirit of adoption. Sonship, so that we cry, Abba, Father. He has anointed us with the Spirit. He has sealed us with the Spirit. And so we have that assurance that we belong to God. We are his children. And it's all through Jesus by his Spirit. For the Spirit takes the things of Christ and glorifies Christ to us. That was a lovely room, wasn't it? Are you lacking assurance, my friend, believer? Go into that room and dwell upon those glorious statements. How about this room, sanctification? What should we see in here? We'll see the same person every time, King Jesus. We are sanctified by looking to him. We're sanctified by dwelling upon him, meditating upon his love. As the Father forgave us, so let us forgive others. As he has loved us, so let us love others. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and therefore we want to please him. This is what sanctification is about. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about Christ and the gospel. That's a glorious room, isn't it? Here's another room, liberty. We have liberty in Christ Jesus. We are free. Free from what? Read Galatians 5, 1. Read Romans 6 and 7 and 8. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from death. Free from law. We are married to Christ. There's the bridal chamber. We are married to Christ. Liberty. Freedom. Here's another room called joy. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. Here's a room called hope. Here's a room called peace. Here's a room called rest. Here's a room called confidence. Here's a room called security. Here's a room called, well, you go on and on and on. And it's all King Jesus. Let us go around her counter towers, consider well her ramparts, verse 12. View her citadels, and let us meditate upon it for ourselves, that all know, that you may tell of them to the next generation. Am I speaking to a father here? Do you tell your sons and daughters, look, my son, look, my daughter, I'm a member of Zion, and the wish, my wish and your mother's wish is above all that you too should be a citizen of Zion, that you should be justified by faith, that you should be sanctified in Christ Jesus, that you should have this assurance, that you should be a member of Zion, not outside with the pagans, but inside Jerusalem, secure forever, for God is among us and God is with us. Witnessing to the next generation, witnessing to our neighbors, friends, wherever, showing them the glories and the wonders of Zion. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. This is the way to use Psalm 48, to glory in it. Unbeliever, you're outside of all this. You belong to a fading, hopeless world which will be destroyed in flames. You have nothing. An eternity of misery ahead. Savior, if of Zion city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity. You may deride or pity us, my friend. The truth is, and I want you to come over now, I don't deride you, but I do pity you. And I long that you shall hear the gospel and come into Jesus by faith. Turn from your sin and turn to Christ. And then you too will be a member of Zion City and have everlasting joy. I hope in this brief address You've caught something of the spirit of Psalm 48 and the way to use it and all the other psalms in this way. This is your treasure, believer. You may be very low, you may be down, you may be cast off, you may be rejected, you may be in trial and affliction. I don't know what. But count your treasures. Count your blessings. Savior, I am a member of Zion City. Let me glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure. All is boasted pomp and show. I have solid joys and lasting treasure. Why? Because by God's grace, I'm a member of Zion City. And Zion is great because God is great. Zion is glorious because God is glorious. I have greatness and glory in Christ because Christ is great and glorious. I will close by a hymn, by giving a hymn from reading a hymn by Thomas Kelly. And these will be my final remarks. Zion is Jehovah's dwelling. There the King of Kings appears. Hers is glory far excelling all the worldling sees or hears. Zion's walls are everlasting, formed through endless years to shine. Strength and beauty, never wasting, show their origin divine. Zion claims peculiar honor. High distinction marks her lot. Light eternal shines upon her. Hers a sun that faileth not. Zion city hath foundations. God himself hath raised her walls. She survives the wreck of nations. Zion stands, whatever falls. Happy they who now discerning Zion's glory thither move. Earth with all its honors spurning, Zion is the place they love. There the Lord, his face disclosing, fills his people's heart with joy. While from all their toils reposing, bliss is theirs without alloy. Brethren, let the prospect cheer us. Fair's the lot that's cast for us. When we call, our God will hear us. Happy they who are favored thus. Let the timid fear no longer. What though earth and hell oppose? He who pleads our cause is stronger, stronger far than all our foes.